Please make a comment. I got this.
Well, crank it up tonight.
Welcome to 2014 and welcome to It's a Show podcast. New episodes will be uploaded every Wednesday, so make sure you follow us on Facebook and Twitter, facebook.com/It's a Show podcast, and on Twitter at It's a Show pod. Things will be back to normal next Wednesday with a brand new episode and upcoming episodes, things to look forward to, including the outhouse story from Mama Jude's. We'll ask ADD nurse Steph what her thoughts are on the big flu shot and the infamous Craig Ferguson, The Late Late Show story with Sparky. In the meantime, sit back, relax, and enjoy this, the best of.
I read in the news this week that ABBA is going to possibly reunite for the 40th anniversary of Waterloo.
Get out of town.
So again, my burgeoning career as a Hollywood mogul and being able to have enough money to take my family on vacation to Ponoka is screwed because ABBA decides that 2013 is the year they're getting back together.
Wait, 2013?
2014.
That's better.
Arr, matey.
That's right.
We get to have some rum.
I've been eyeing that Crown Royal on the top, I'm not going to lie, since we did episode one.
It's like a shtickle left.
Yeah. What? Is it down from before?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you drink alone. This is good.
I have people over. Oh. I was telling the audience I don't entertain usually, but when I do, it's with adults and we drink adult beverages and we entertain ourselves with our sarcastic outlook about life.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, a lot of people think that's negativity, but you know what? It's a coping mechanism.
Yeah, it's great.
We're huge in Winnipeg too now. So I don't know if
that's where the Western Canada Lottery Corporation is. So they probably got nothing to do during the week and then just listening to the podcast.
Did you buy your ticket?
Yeah. I don't. Do you buy tickets regularly?
I don't.
I don't either.
Because
once in a while, if I get an itchy left hand, which is supposed to be the indicator of wealth.
Yeah.
Precursor to wealth, then I do it. Otherwise, I don't do it.
I know my dad is big on the lottery. He will, I don't know if he does the quick picks or if he picks his own numbers.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's got
That'd
a method.
Be interesting to ask him. We should phone him.
He'll have like tickets from months ago that he, I don't know if he's checked online or he hasn't bothered to go down to the kiosk, but
right,
he could be a millionaire. He doesn't even know it.
Seriously, man, that's not good. You go.
And he needs the money.
How do you feel about the tweeting sound when you go check or chirp chirp or whatever it is when you go check your tickets now? You put them in there and they go, tick, like, is it a laugh or what the hell is it? I don't know. I don't go often enough, but there's some sound comes out of there.
I didn't know it made a sound.
Oh, we got to do an experiment. We'll take the iPhone and go buy a ticket and then because they win $2, then we'll hear the
hee. Yeah. Oh, I know when you win, it goes, woohoo.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Oh, woohoo.
Okay,
that's what I'm saying. Woohoo. That's what I meant.
I got a quick update for you on ADD Steph, our friend from Regina. She said she listened to the last episode.
Absolutely. It's like you just know me already.
Right, which was episode 4?
4, Experience Regina, oddly enough. Her and her mom listened together, and she says, can't stop laughing, love it. I was like, well, that's good. That's a victory, in my opinion.
Cue the music. Amazing piece of production there.
That's my favorite.
Experience Regina. Now, you...
there goes the table hit.
The kitchen table. You're speaking to a farm kid who grew up inside a combine greasing the nipples. And I'm going, Dad, really? I don't want to go in my back inside there anymore. It's weird.
And then to change the nipple gun when the nipple gun was empty? Oh, that's a production and a half.
That was called a grease gun, by the way. And once you got the hang of it... Ray McGuire, does that name ring a bell?
Isn't he a hockey guy?
Nope. Lead singer of the band Trooper.
Oh, Raise a Little Hell? Raise a Little Hell?
Yeah.
Raise a Little Hell? Raise a Little Hell, Raise a Little
Hell, Raise a Little Hell. Boys in the Bright White Sports Car. There they go. The boys are really rolling. Round, round we go. Three dressed up as a 9.
Oh, I love that song. You're just a 3 dressed up as a 9. You're just
So because of the age difference, I mean, Trooper, I had their 8-tracks when I was in grade 8
mm-hmm.
and stuff, and they've been a part of my life forever.
Classic, yeah.
And Ray McGuire, the lead singer, is a great blogger, great on social media, and he actually favorited a tweet I sent out. Nothing about Trooper, just some kind of tweet I had or whatever.
What was a tweet?
I don't know. It must have been awesome, though. And so now we obviously have this kinship on social media. So I want to reach out to him and have this world-famous guy. He's traveled the entire globe hundreds of thousands of times.
And their songs are they're popular no matter for any occasion.
And then we'll see. Maybe we can get written express permission from Major League Baseball and Ray McGuire to put a Trooper song on It's a Show.
Love it.
Yeah. So that could happen in the future. Now, ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned for an Out of This World interview.
Everything humans know of our planet, we were told, had been shared. You lied to us.
Thank you for calling Sheraton Cavalier. Petra speaking.
Hi, could we have Commander Hadfield, please?
Absolutely. One moment, please.
Hi, this is Helena.
Hi, this is Greg calling for the Commander.
Hi, Greg. This is Helena Hadfield. He is unfortunately running 2 minutes late.
Are you his long-suffering wife?
I am his long-suffering wife, yes.
Being the family at home and seeing the entire world hang on every tweet and every word that your husband either utters or sings, because he loves to sing in public.
He does.
Yeah. What did that feel like?
It was great. It was just such a delight to see everybody in sharing in his joy, and that's what it was. It was his joy coming through.
This journey was a long time in coming. I mean, he's been preparing for this for his entire life.
He has. And when he was named commander, it was amazing.
He's like James Bond.
I know, except without the extreme danger fighting, like people throwing bad hats.
Yeah, she's talking about Odd Job. One of the most heinous Bond villains ever. Oh, this is so nice to speak with you. And I was wondering about you as I was going through the book and wondering what your perspective was, having such a famous husband and somebody who risked his life like the other astronauts to go up there. And I mean, just the description of how the rocket ship takes off and how when they're coming back to Earth, what kind of a jarring physical event that is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a lot like raising kids, I imagine.
Yeah. Yes. Actually, I think it's easier to have your husband go into space than raise kids.
You know, I heard him on CBC yesterday, and he was offering up some parental advice, which I thought was very well grounded. He said when you guys used to take the kids when they were little to a restaurant, he would have a briefing.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd just say, basically, let's just go over the rules. Here's how it's going to roll. And no screaming, no running around, you know.
No screaming, no crying, no running around.
Be consistent.
Yeah.
Don't be their friend, be their parent. And that's the toughest thing, especially when they get to be teenagers and they're a little bit more worldly and think they're more worldly than they are. And
yeah, and think that they know way more than you do.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah. Some call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice.
Where did you two meet?
We met in high school.
In what grade?
I was 14, just about to turn 15, and so, I don't know, I guess I was in grade 10, and he was in grade 12.
And he had the mustache then, so that was the thing.
He didn't quite have the mustache then, but he rocks the mustache. I like it.
Yeah, a lot of people like it.
Well, I mean, when you've got such a famous mustache, I have to tell you that when we had the, when we have a mustache on a stick that we designed as a fun thing for the flight, and when we got the design for it, it looked so Ned Flanders. And so he was like, I don't feel Ned Flanders. Is it really Ned Flanders? And I'm like, and he's like, I feel like more Tom Selleck. So I went back to the designer and said, can you add a little Tom into the Ned? And then we got the perfect Chris Hadfield mustache.
I would like to start a Twitter account on the mustache's behalf.
I think that would be awesome. he just walked in the room, so I will hand you over, but it's been a delight speaking with you.
It was a pleasure to meet you.
You also. Bye-bye.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, It's a Show proudly presents Mrs. Hadfield's Spousal Unit.
Space, the final frontier.
Good morning.
I feel like I know a lot about you already, having spoken with Mrs. Hadfield at great length.
Well, you went straight to the source.
You want to know something about a guy? I talked to his wife.
Exactly right.
Commander Hadfield, I'm going to start the interview by reading the back of your brand new book, Chris Hadfield, An Astronaut's Guide to Life.
On Earth.
Before my first spacewalk, I knew I was on the verge of even rarer beauty, to drift outside, fully immersed in the spectacle of the universe, while holding onto a spaceship orbiting Earth at 17,500 miles per hour. It was a moment I'd been dreaming of and working toward most of my life. But poised on the edge of the sublime, I faced a somewhat ridiculous dilemma. How best to get out there? The hatch was small and circular, but with all my tools strapped to my chest and a huge pack of oxygen tanks and electronics strapped onto my back, I was square. Square astronaut, round hole. Best thing I've read in a long, long time.
Yeah, it's kind of a dilemma.
How did you solve it? Did you Vaseline up, or how did you get out of there?
Well, you do it really carefully and methodically, and it's weird doing it in weightlessness because things don't behave intuitively. You know, everything's floating and getting stuck, and wires get wrapped around your legs, and so you really need to be sort of step-by-step and methodical and pull yourself out into the universe without getting yourself all in a big tangle and embarrassing your first majestic float out into the spacewalk.
See, in my case, I'd say, oh, no, we can't do it. I can't get out there. I can't get out because I don't want to be floating in the middle of space. You crazy man.
It is the most fundamentally beautiful place I've ever been in my life, to be in the universe. Normally, we're used to seeing the universe above our heads, but on a spacewalk, the universe is below you and beside you and around you, and the Earth is just sort of in the distance, turning and majestic over to one side. But it's an amazing feeling to be immersed in the universe alone, and a perspective that I've never gotten any other way. It's magnificent.
Can you always see Earth when you're out there?
Yeah, even we go around the world 16 times a day, and even in the pitch black of night, the Earth sort of glows a little bit like the Northern Lights. There's always a faint glow to the atmosphere, even when you're over the deepest Pacific, where there's not one human light anywhere. You can still see the faint glow of the world just because of the little bit of electric activity with the sun and the atmosphere. So yeah, it sometimes it's just a looming dark presence, but it never goes away.
What does space look like?
When you look into the depth of space for Madeline, it goes on forever, and there's no atmosphere in the way. So especially when you're out on a spacewalk, so you just have the glass of your visor, and it's so black and deep that it has dimension to it. It has texture to it. You can sort of see the immense depth of the Milky Way and everything that lies beyond. It's as if you're looking into the texture of the blackness of space. It's beautiful. Hi, this is Commander Chris Hadfield.
Space, the final frontier.
You can sort of see the immense depth of the Milky Way and everything that lies beyond. It's as if you're looking into the texture of the blackness of space. It's beautiful.
Those words just scare me. They really frighten me because, I mean, I just can't imagine having that perspective with nothing to hold you and ground you. I mean, you're literally out there on a string.
Yeah, we have like a clothesline attached to us just in case you lost your grip so you wouldn't go drifting off, and then they'd have to like name things after you.
Okay, you brought up the movie Gravity. Let's talk. Let's discuss.
What'd you think? Did you like it?
You know, I haven't seen it. I know that you reported earlier in the news that the underwear was totally wrong.
Yeah, well, I mean, Sandra Bullock looked great in the movie. And
your wife is right there, sir.
Yeah, I know. Well, she did. Sandra Bullock looked great in the movie. And when we come out of our spacesuits, you know, after Sandra pulled out of her spacewalk, she was wearing this lovely skin-tight Lycra kind of little boy underwear outfit. And when we come out of our spacesuit, we're wearing this enormous liquid cooling garment and diapers, and our hair is a wreck, and you know, so it was really nice in the movie, but now we are not nearly so photogenic when we're pulling ourselves out of our spacesuit. But it's a good movie, and millions of people have watched it and liked it. The visuals in it, when she said it was sort of disorienting, the visuals are really, really good, better than any movie ever made. If you want to see what it looks like to be out on a spacewalk, the technicians who made that movie did a great job.
We are so lucky this week on It's a Show to have Commander Chris Hadfield, who is now an author. He's got a new book out, and we're talking about it today. We're talking about the movies, and Sandra Bullock got involved, and also the book.
The book is Astronaut's Guide to Life on Earth. It is a bestseller. It is available now wherever you get your books, in person or on the digital format.
Dedicated to his beautiful wife, and for good reason. We met her off the top of the interview, and just an extraordinary woman. And let's get back to Chris and talk about the secrets of life.
Everything humans know of our planet, we were told, had been shared. You lied to us.
You know, when I was 9, I wanted to walk on the moon. I still haven't walked on the moon, but I don't consider myself a failure.
How do you live with yourself?
It's terrible. How do I look in the mirror every morning?
Some people call me the space cowboy. Some people call me Maurice.
People call him a space cowboy, codename Maurice. Definitely has the Marlboro Man mustache to match.
Yeah.
And coming up with Commander Hadfield, the three secrets to becoming an astronaut.
You want the three secrets?
Yes.
They're really not secrets, but they are good guidelines. And number one is keep your body in shape. You only get one, and it doesn't take some crazy effort. It's just little small decisions each day. Keep your body in shape. Number two is get an advanced education that challenges you. Get an education where you really kind of have to stretch your mind to work at it and understand it in an area that interests you. And then the third thing is make decisions and stick with them. Making decisions is a perishable skill, and it's easy to drift through life and say, I just don't want to decide. I'll let things randomly happen. But then your life just becomes a random collection of things, and you'll end up somewhere that you may hate. Keep your body in shape, get an advanced education, and make decisions and stick with them. You'll get good at making decisions. And with those three things, you will have a better path through life regardless, and you might even end up commanding a spaceship.
We want to say thank you very much for your time here today and your beautiful spouse's time.
Thanks.
It was an incredible conversation, and we know you got a lot on your plate, and we appreciate you picking up the phone.
My pleasure. I got breakfast on my plate right now, so nice to speak with you.
That's just a quick snapshot of some previous episodes. We've got lots more on the way, lots of special guests lined up for you, and lots of great stories about everyday life and experiences. It's a Show Podcast on Facebook.com/It's a Show Podcast and on Twitter @It's a Show Pod. Hopefully in the next couple of days, we'll have an update for you on the iTunes situation as we continue to switch hosts to our new site. But in the meantime, you can stream right now online. It's a Show Podcast.podbean.com. The link on Facebook. Until next week on Wednesday, keep in touch.